One thing consistent about summer, it's that City Light Church is going through the book of Matthew. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 through 39. Originally, Kevin was scheduled to preach this sermon last week, and I was scheduled to preach a different sermon this week. But Kevin is at City United Church preaching there, and I took the sermon this week. I did do my own independent study, but this sermon, more than most, is a kind of a collaboration of Kevin and I of thoughts and ideas and how we kind of, what we saw in the passage. So I do just want to make that clear that maybe if there's something I say that you're not too fond of, blame Pastor Kevin. I absolve myself of any guilt. But it has been a joy to go through. I do appreciate like hearing his thoughts. He words things very well. In the passage of scripture today, what we're kind of going to see, and what we see throughout all of chapter 10, is Jesus showing decisions that a Christian has to make, things that impact a Christian's life, ways in which that they will have to work to show, not show their faith, but to show that, hey, I align myself with Christ. And one thing we're going to see today is someone or Jesus asking questions of Christians that kind of puts them in between a rock and a hard place, where they have to choose their loyalty between groups or people. So I want you to think of a time when your loyalty was when you were stuck between loyalty between people or groups or even thought patterns, like you just don't know who to go for. I really burdened myself to try to think of something good here, but I couldn't. But my wife does say, and I believe it myself, I'm a chameleon. I'm a social chameleon. I kind of take on the personality of those around me. I take on the interests of those around me. The best example of this is baseball this year. I have watched more baseball this year and followed the Yankees more this year, and I have always been a Yankees fan than ever because of Simon Waugh. He came to the church, big Yankees fan, not just a baseball fan, not just like, oh, I watch baseball casually. He's dedicated to the Yankees. And it gives me like, hey, I'm going to connect with Simon over Yankees. We went to the first game to celebrate my 26th and his 40th birthday, and it was a great time. So I'm a social chameleon in that way. But sometimes what that leads me to do is if I'm in a large group of people, and you know, whenever you're with a large group, they always, rather than like doing their own thing, everyone's like, the Steels may experience it this week where they're like, hey, we all want to do the same thing because we all want to be together. So like 10 people of a group of 15 are like, yeah, let's go get lunch at this place. And they start going and I'm like, the crowd is going that way. I'm following. But then someone that I really like kind of the most out of the group of 15 is like, no, I'd rather go to Burger King. And I'm like, the restaurant really doesn't matter to me. And I'd much rather be with that person than these people. Not that these people are bad. I just really like that person, rather be around that person. But I'm already like committed halfway to these people. And I can't like make up a lie now. Like, oh, I'm allergic to seafood. So I'm like stuck in between two sides of like, hey, do I just like commit and go back to that guy? Or do I just commit to go forward and maybe kind of have not the best time? But who knows? But this week, like I said, we'll be in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 through 39. Let's dive into that. If we want to put that on the screen, if the screen is working. Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 32, says this. Therefore, everyone who will acknowledge me before others, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny him before my Father in heaven. Don't assume that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his household. The one who loves a father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. The one who loves a son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever doesn't take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Anyone who finds his life will lose it, and anyone who loses his life because of me will find it. Thirsty day today. So we're going to break this text into three different points. These points, if I'm being transparent, came from Kevin. Beautiful wording. Very simple, too. First point we're talking about today is I am openly Christian. Verses 32-33. We're going to see that in those two verses. One thing we see in this section is Jesus mentioned others. Like, if you're going to deny me in front of others, I will deny you in front of my Father in heaven. We see this parallel between other people and his Father in heaven. This is a callback to Matthew 10:28, when he talks about not fearing people who can only kill the body and not the soul. The Lord you follow should be more important than the people that you associate with. The main reason a Christian may deny God in front of someone may be fear. Fear of what are they going to think? What are the preconceived notions they're going to think about me because I say I'm a Christian, or whatever those things may be. Oftentimes, when we don't acknowledge the Lord, it's due to fear. Now, this section, acknowledging Jesus is an important step in showing that you genuinely follow Jesus. With anything, if we have the ability to announce the diet we follow, I'm keto, I'm carnivore, I'm paleo, whatever it may be, or if we have the ability to say, I love this author, or I only read this guy or this girl, or the politicians that we vote for, pretty vocal about that, some people are. If we can say all those things, then we can surely proclaim the Lord that we follow. But this section does bring about a question. It says, if you deny me in front of others, I will deny you in front of my Father in heaven. Jesus will do that, he says. Now, does that mean that if I have a moment of weakness and someone's like, are you a Christian? And I'm like, no. Are you doomed to be denied by God the Father? Now, when we're thinking through this framework, we do have to remember that that God's love for us does not come based on our ability to say, I'm a follower, I'm a Christian, to wear I love Jesus hats and shirts and put it on our car. That by no means has gained us any level of love from the Lord, but rather what Jesus did. And we're going to talk more about that as we go through the sermon. So remember that what Jesus is saying here, what we see when he talks about denying God, it's more of a continual, like your life is lived through a continual denial of God. Some people talk about the unforgivable sin, is denying God the unforgivable sin. And most people say to deny the Holy Spirit for the duration of your life would mean separation from the Lord in eternity. So here, again, is not talking about a one-time instance. If you have a moment of weakness where you sin and deny believing in God, you are not doomed to be denied by Jesus. We see Peter deny Jesus because he fears the crowd kind of persecuting him while Jesus is being persecuted, yet Jesus forgives him. We need to remember that as we frame through all of this. Now, what is a way that you can be openly Christian? Now, one thing this text does not mean is obnoxiously Christian. The Christian hat, the tie, the jacket, all of it. The person that just is like kind of odd about their Christianity. You probably may be able to think of a person. They've got the signs in the front yard, all of that stuff. Some of these things aren't. If you've got like a little cross or something like that, that's fine. But what I mean by we want to be openly but not obnoxiously Christian, one way that we can do this is when it comes to being a Christian in our society today is trying to be an agent of restoration. We know that Jesus came to restore our relationship with God through his perfect life, so we can think of ways that we can be an agent of restoration. I think of a work environment, trying to be a person that's solving problems, restoring things to their proper order, being someone who's helping and bringing people together rather than being a distraction or a divider, to seek to fix, help, and love rather than just being like, it would be good if you had a good reputation at work. Like, man, if I have an issue, I can go to John. Not to be stepped on by other people, but be someone who tries to restore things to their past, like restore things. Second thing we see is that Jesus comes before the family. We see this in verses 34-37. This takes up our largest chunk of scripture. Ruben, you want to pull that section up for me? 34-37. Thank you. Jesus says in this section that you think I came to bring peace. Most people, if you said, what do you think of Jesus? They're like, peaceful. He's like Gandhi, great, amazing, so nice, kind teacher is what people will say of him. But he says, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. Now, is Jesus talking about like a literal sword to take action? He is not. What he's saying is more or less a figure of speech that's saying, due to Jesus's teachings, people and families will forever be different. He quotes Psalm 55, 12 through 13 in that main section there, or he references back to it. That section talks about how the psalmist can handle the insults of a foe, but the one who is coming after him in this instance is a companion or a good friend, and how that is soul-wrenching. And we know, we probably can understand that, how if some random guy on the street passed you and said, you're ugly, it probably wouldn't hurt. But if you walked out into the living room in the morning and your wife was like, you are ugly, you'd probably be like, dang, that hurts. But what Jesus is doing here is far greater than that. A father, obviously, we know, is the head of the household. Mother, very important role. These relationships between father and mother are very key and important, probably more than our society today. The breakdown of mother or of daughter and mother-in-law, daughter-in-law and mother-in-law, I think most people in our culture have adopted. They've said, like, I'm okay with that part. Like, I don't like my mother-in-law. They're like, get her away from me. But that's not what this text means, obviously. But one thing that is important to remember is that this is a lot bigger. What the biggest thing would be hostility that comes to your home. That's a big thing. But even more in their culture, in their society, the people were more, what was most important in the society in Jesus's day was the group. The group came first over the individual. And your closest, tightest-knit group was your family. That group meant more than your individual self. You thought on that on behalf of the group and rather the individual. The group decided what you did for work. The group decided, I wrote that twice in my notes. The group decided who you married, what you did for work, all of these other things. The group decided your life, and you didn't really matter as much. So to be a follower of Jesus in that day meant that you would have a different authority and may disagree or go against the thoughts or opinions of the group. And this would cause major division. It's like, how are you going to go against me? You're my son. You're my daughter. You're my daughter-in-law. You must follow me. You must listen to me. You must listen to my guidance. Now, we see this division today, not as much in the family, but in people's loyalty to people they follow or a political party. I feel like people in today, you hear a common mantra going around that, like, hey, if family's toxic, like, leave them behind. No need to be a part of toxic family members or anything like that. But people tend to be loyal to a group of people or a political party or whatever it may be. And we have to be careful that when it comes to these loyalties, that we never allow other people to think for us, that we never say, hey, I need to do X, Y, or Z because David Platt says so, or I need to do X, Y, and Z because this politician said so, or Dr. Oz told me to take this pill and I would lose miracle fat. We need to think for ourselves, and we need to see all things through the lens of the Bible and follow it. Seek what the Lord wants for us. Leon Morris says this, divisions and oppositions may well arise where they are at least expected, for it is impossible to predict how people will react to the gospel and where they will oppose it. They may oppose it bitterly and extend bitter opposition to all who have accepted it. Enemies in this text is not too strong of a word. For some people, this is very present. For myself, this was very present. I remember I got saved at Liberty on October 5th. On October 7th, I went to my evangelism class that I was taking as a non-believer. And I had people pray for me as I was going to go out and share the gospel of Jesus with my friends and my family. And it was really a beautiful moment, mainly because the week before, a girl shared her story with me in that class. And I was like, cool, I'm an atheist. And she like went pale white. And the next week here, I'm standing there, God having done amazing work in my life and being prayed to be sent out. But I had told my dad, my goal was to show Christians how stupid they are. I was directly opposed to Christians, to the Christian teaching, not because I had been burned by the church. Some people have this hard relationship. Some people feel some type of way when you say you're a Christian because they've been hurt by the church. They've been mistreated by people in the church in the name of God's work. But for me, that wasn't the case. I had just been around hypocrisy and all these other things. So you need to remember, we need to be diligent and understand that when I went home, I shared the gospel with my buddies, and they were like, that's stupid. And we see this in Jesus' life. In Mark 3:21, he says, those close to him, as he's teaching, Jesus is teaching and sharing his about the Lord and what he's been sent on this earth to do. And it says the people there had said he had lost his senses when they heard his teachings. The same way my boys did that. They were like, this dude is crazy. Does he forget the things that he's missing out on because he's following this Jesus guy? Another point to this is that while Jesus does what Jesus is calling us to is come before family, this does not mean we neglect our family. There used to be missionaries back in the day that would, in the name of the Lord, go out to a country and do missions, and they would send their kid off to a boarding school to never see them again or to see them later down the road. This doesn't mean that if you and your wife are having tensions and there's a good church event that you could go to, that you say, hey, I'm not going to resolve this with my wife. I'm going to go do this thing for the Lord. We know that God has called us to take care and tender certain relationships, but at the end of the day, we still have to love God more than we love our kids, our spouses, our best friends, whoever that may be. And this can be seen, this is something that we can kind of reflect on. Ask ourselves, do I really love the Lord more than I love the person that I love the most? Think of the person, it may be easy, it may be a spouse, maybe a best friend, I don't know who it is. You may feel this deep love with your kid, which is very natural. But think, do I love the Lord more than I love them? If my partner wrote me a letter and gave it to me, I would probably be very inclined to open it and read it right away and hear what great things they had to say about me. While we have the Lord who wrote or had beautiful scripture written so that we can learn about God and his redemptive story to return mankind to the original order or how he intended it to be. And yet we're like, man, God, I love you, but kind of had a long day. I'm just going to kind of hang out. I'm just going to relax. I'm going to chill. And we have to be careful of that. We have to think, do my actions show that I really love God more than I love those around me, that I love the person who I love the most? Last thing we're going to talk about this morning is going to be that Jesus comes before me. Now, obviously, like we said, in this culture, the individual came last. So if anything, this means more to us in a very individualistic society than it did to them. But what does it mean to take up your cross? We some Christians oftentimes throw out this phrase, hey, take up your cross and follow Christ. Or, man, I'm just really carrying the cross right now, or whatever it may be. But to take up one's cross would happen when someone was condemned and headed to be crucified. They would carry their cross to the point of execution. Christy Gambrell, in an article on Gospel Coalition, says this: it was to show a complete and utter submission to carry one's cross, a call to bear one's cross as a part of following Jesus, then is a call to be submitted to Christ as the condemned criminal was to death. So in the same way that the condemned criminal carries his cross until death, we are called to follow Christ with everything until the day that we die and go to be with the Lord, if you are a believer, if you follow Christ. Our culture tells us to take control of our life, take ownership, take action, wake up early, have a purpose to your day, and at any cost, once you find out your purpose, doesn't matter the cost, chase after it no matter what. Our culture tells us all these different messages of pursuing gain for ourselves. But Christ obviously has a different idea. He says to lose yourself is what's most important. To lose yourself is to destroy. And this doesn't mean destroy the person that you are or the person that God has made me to be. When I got saved, I went to Liberty to play paintball competitively. I love paintball more than anything. I could have been at a paintball event right now. So obviously I appreciate preaching more. I had this as a commitment, but it was very last minute in New Hampshire as well. But I love paintball. And when I got saved, I wasn't like not playing paintball ever again because now I have this new life of following Christ. I had to reframe my mind to say, hey, how can I shift my focus from I just want to get the most out of paintball that I can get to saying, hey, how can I benefit those around me? How can I be an agent of restoration? How can I love my teammates, my coaches, the other teams, and different things like that? And that definitely was a mind switch for me. So take the gifts that God has given you your whole entire life. Lose the whole idea of the self-gain and I just want to do this for my own benefit and purpose, and consider how you can reuse those things to benefit the Lord. To lose your life is to live a life of self-denial and service to God. To worry less about what you want and more about what God wants to use you for. To think less of the great trips or cool things you could do with your money, but rather wondering how God may want to use you to benefit people with the resources that He's given you. Lastly, in order to live a life of self-denial, you must understand yourself deeply. It is a call, the call to carry your cross is a call to examine your actions, intentions, sins, and behaviors in order to better align yourself with Jesus and what He's called us to do. And this is something that you're not called to do alone. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have the helper in the Holy Spirit to help expose your motives to do something and to show you the better way to live like Christ. And I know this may seem like an intense thing of waking up every morning to deny yourself and think and focus on how the Lord wants to use you and what part of my motives and intentions are for myself and I need to redirect towards the Lord. It can be extremely exhausting. I know there have definitely been moments, especially in these last couple weeks, where I've almost felt this unnecessary burden of this is what I'm doing for the rest of my life, is to follow God, to love God, and to constantly be denying my own desires and intentions to see what the Lord wants for me. But the beauty is, for one, like I said, we're not doing this alone. We have the Holy Spirit to help us, to guide us, who will continue to give us all the energy and strength we need any day of the year. He will give us the scripture's promise that He will give us all the strength we need to make through a day. But the beauty is that we have an example in Jesus who did deny Himself for His full life. He always loved God more than anyone else. And through His perfection, we can have that grace when we fall short. When we say, I didn't follow Jesus to my fullest extent. I didn't carry my cross today. I considered my own desires. I could have served my wife or served someone in this way. And I thought, man, I just don't want to get off the couch. I'd rather just zone out. We know that we have grace that comes from Jesus. And this grace and immense love, when God looks at us and does not see the imperfections of ourselves, but rather the perfection of His Son Jesus, this fuels our love. That His great and deep love for us fuels us to live a life of self-denial, of allowing Jesus to come before ourselves, of allowing Jesus to come before our family, and being openly Christian. The Lord allows us to do these things through this great love and grace that He has for us. Let's pray. God, we thank You so much for today, for time just to connect and pray in a space, Lord. How grateful we are to sit here in a space where we don't have to worry if persecution or anybody breaking down the doors to stop what we're doing here, Lord. So Lord, we pray that we don't fear sharing about who You are and what You've done in our life. God, we pray that we always put You in front of our family rightly, that we don't love our family more than we love you. Because if anything, Lord, it's our love for you that fuels the fire that we have for our family. We can't love our family well if we don't love you well, Lord. In the same way, I pray that we live a life of self-denial, that we live a life of, when we sin, to come to the feet of Jesus and ask for forgiveness. Let anybody know that this free gift is available from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that he came and died on the cross after living a perfect life. And he didn't stay dead. He raised again 3 days later. He's in heaven now at the right hand of the Father. And Lord, it's through that victory over death that we can spend eternity with him, that we can serve him forever. We can be loved by him forever. Not by our works or our ability to pull up our own bootstraps. So Lord, I pray that we remember that, that we relish in the grace of the Lord. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.